And welcome to another edition of Spits and Suds. I'm Gavin Spittle of 105.3 The Fan. These off-season programs are nearing an end, and that's a good thing. If you saw on Twitter/X, Dallas Stars painting the ice. Here we go. Yes, and joining us is our NHL insider from EP Ringside. You can subscribe to his awesome Substack, where he's putting out terrific articles at ShapShots. He was part of a wonderful movie that you can rent this weekend if you're in a hockey mood. It's called The Late Game Movie. And, of course, he's an author, along with our other friend, Stephen Meserve, of We Win Here, the story of the Texas Stars and the Dallas Stars. The list just continues because everyone wants a piece of Sean Shapiro. How are you, buddy?
I'm pretty good, man. I'm happy to be here. And we are, Gavin, today is a wonderful day because, we're talking, it's a wonderful day. Any day we're talking is a wonderful
nice,
day.
Nice, yeah.
It is Friday. At this time next week, I will be freshly home from next Thursday, the late game. We're doing our Canadian premiere next Thursday night in Toronto. But I'll be back home Friday, driven back from Detroit from Toronto to the Detroit area Friday morning. And at this time, a week from now, I will be packing up, making sure I've got everything in the car to drive up to Traverse City, Michigan, to watch the Stars prospects play the Detroit Red Wings prospects on Saturday and Sunday. We are 8 days away from real live hockey. Yes, it's prospects. But to me, that event is the kickoff event of the hockey season for me every year. It is 8 days away for the first game. I will be there. I will be covering it. We will be talking about it. It is very exciting where it is no longer where you can count on less than 10 fingers still watching a real hockey game.
Here we go. Yes, I absolutely love it. So I'm getting excited because we are doing the Central Division preview, Sean, and we've had some awesome guests. We've done Minnesota, Winnipeg, and Utah, and St. Louis, and today we're doing Nashville, and then we have Colorado left, and we did Chicago as well. So it's just so cool kind of getting the opposite side perspective, not just of their team, but also of the Dallas Stars, and the respect that this organization has right now is pretty awesome to hear from an outsider's kind of behind enemy lines perspective.
Yeah, that's something that I've noticed too with the Stars, and I've said this with just other Stars fans before. It's one of the things about where this team is they are an envy of the league. They are a team that people want to emulate. And it's like both on and off the ice. So, like, we talk about on the ice, right? We see where the team is. 3 Western Conference Finals in 5 years. A top 15 ranked prospect grouping, just even with that success, according to the fine people over at EP Ringside and Elite Prospects. Off the ice, really setting the stage for some of this TV stuff. The Ducks copied them. The franchise is in a really good spot. I'm writing something for next week in D Magazine that I kind of want to tease a little bit, just about looking at where it is and like the people behind all nice. Of this, making all of this happen. So keep an eye out for that in D Magazine next week. But like it is a really good spot for the franchise, and it's one where I know you've been going, you've been talking to people, all this. There's sometimes people in Dallas will wonder, will kind of be a little bit more critical of the Stars. And this is a perfect example for me where sometimes you got to look around and look in the mirror and realize that other people are looking at you as the prime example here.
No, you're absolutely correct. So today I kind of wanted to talk about something that we really haven't focused on. And we have talked about that this Stars lineup is kind of set for this year. And one thing we haven't talked about, Sean, is, because it's really important, is the depth of this team. And what I mean is the Stars are up against the cap, so there is limited flexibility as far as sometimes who can come up, who can go down. You know, we saw that last year with this Dallas Stars team. So that kind of makes the healthy scratches even more important as far as the depth that is with this team to start the year. Now, looking defensively, I know it's going to be Brendan Smith or Nils Lundqvist kind of at the back end, and one of those guys might get scratched. You know, injuries do happen, but we really haven't talked about the extra forward or two that will be part of those healthy scratches. You know, just off the top, I'm thinking like, okay, does Cole Lind have a opportunity picked up in the offseason from the Stars? Who are some of the guys going into training camp that you kind of think could fill that extra forward roster?
You mean like kind of in that 13th forward role?
Yeah, exactly. Because, yeah, I mean, you know, we kind of have that fourth line. I don't want to say set, but I mean, you know,
yeah,
it kind of is.
It's really like we know, like you look at if you kind of project the lineups, right? It feels like that fourth line, and this is a very good fourth line, is going to look like it's probably going to be Dadonov, Steele, and Blackwell. And that's a pretty good fourth line.
Yeah.
That's a pretty good fourth line in the NHL.
Absolutely. And by the way, not to interrupt you, but when I did the Chicago preview, they raved about Blackwell both on and off the ice. They said, you know, we hated to lose him.
Yeah. The other interesting thing with the Stars on this level, there's two things. Because you will need another forward to play at some point. You definitely will. The other with Dallas right now, the team has $6.2 million in cap space right now, right? Obviously still waiting for the Thomas Harley signing to get done, right? That's a big one. So once Harley signs, we will have a much better idea of what the roster looks like, because the Stars could legitimately, Gavin, if Harley takes them all the way to the cap, they could just go into camp. They could go into opening night carrying 12 forwards for opening night because of where they are against the cap and trying to make as much space as possible. Then you kind of go and you think like, okay, who is going to be that next man up on defense, right? And Cole Lind played, I think he played one game in the NHL last year with Seattle. He could be an option. You could see a Matty Blumel maybe get a chance, and Oscar Bach. There's just basically a couple Texas guys who are kind of in that spot of what are they going to do? I mean, Blumel had 62 points last year for Texas. He could be an option. They brought in Cameron Hughes as well from who also joined the organization as a free agent. And Hughes is he's more of an AHL signing, but he had 57 points in 69 AHL games last year. And I have no idea how to properly pronounce his name. We'll have to ask our Finnish friends. But the big one is we've seen what the Stars have done bringing guys in out of Finland as free agents before. And Arttu Harai, I want to make sure I'm pronouncing it right.
Sounds good to me.
Yeah, I mean, he's someone who they signed him to. I want to do the quick check, Gavin. I want to use the... Let's go through this. I think I've told people about this tell before. Stars signing. I'm always doing research live on our show, Gavin, which is great.
The beauty of a podcast, sir.
He does not have the, there's no quote from Jim Neal on Arttu Harai in the press release. If Jim Neal has given a quote in the press release, that means Jim Neal typically plans on them being on the NHL roster. But Harai played in for Karpat the last 4 years in Finland at 31 points in 55 games. Pretty decent free agency pickup. Very Joel Kiviranta-like. I could see him, based off Stars history and how they handle things, I could see him being a guy who maybe gets an opportunity there that people might not have expected. It's going to be a lot of The other thing about it, and this is why sometimes players are suggested to sign deals like this, is the cap really decides everything in a lot of places. And Cole Lind signed the league minimum for $775. So did Emilio Pettersson, so did Blumel, so did an Oscar Bock. Those guys, they might not be out, they might not be the best option playing wise as a 13th forward, but they are the cheapest. And that's another thing that comes into play as well. So it's going to be, it really is a good mystery when it comes to the Stars, because it's one we haven't talked a lot about. So kudos to you on making me think about it on the spot here.
Yeah, no, I mean, it's kind of interesting because I know, and one of the other reasons I brought it up is Stars fans listening will say, okay, what about Bixel? And the reality is, Stars fans, is you don't want one of your younger prospects kind of just going through practice and not getting that playing time, whereas they can be in Texas and get that valuable time. Like Liam Bixel down in Texas is
Yeah.
valuable for this future of this squad.
Yeah, it's he needs to play. Let's just call it what it is. He needs to play. You don't need him going through what other young defensemen have gone in the past and sitting and just kind of not maturing in games. He needs to play. Have him do it in Texas. I think I'm excited to see what he does with a larger role in Texas this year, and I think Stars fans should be too. And maybe that proves he's ready for next year. Maybe it proves he's ready for later in this season. Either way, I don't want to rush him, and I want to make sure you're getting the best version of Bixel, is my view on this.
I absolutely agree. All right. Let's put some smiles on our faces. 4 years ago, this week, this happened.
The overlap on the right wing, Sekera. Behind the cage now, the defenseman's in deep. Andre Sekera fed out, score! Kiviranta! You couldn't script it!
No, you couldn't, Sean Shapiro. That was an absolute beauty. Joel Kiviranta out of nowhere now was with the Avalanche last year. Kind of ironic, but scores a hat trick in the bubble. I remember where I was. I'm sure you remember where you were, Sean. Just a pretty awesome run by the Dallas Stars. Hard to believe because of everything that the season was delayed and this happened in September 4 years ago.
Yeah, it's I mean, you played Josh's call on it, which is a
Yeah,
good call,
terrific
but
call by Josh and
we
Race.
all know the iconic finish call of that one, of if
Yeah.
we all remember that one too,
Yeah.
that went viral
Yep. Wanted
afterwards.
to give Josh and Razor some love.
Exactly. I mean, you could have just also Josh needed to keep his job as well, so he couldn't have made the call the Finnish announcer made. It's funny to look at that, look back at that time and think, like, that was, it feels like it was not 4 years ago, and it feels like it was farther all at the same time. Like, it's the like it is a it's like time has been so weird circling around what happened with the bubble and everything. But that's it's this looks like great. Like, Gavin, it looks like we had a pre-show meeting when we did not, when I brought up, I mean, when we're talking about our two high rye, and I talked about being like a Kiviranta type, and then you bring up a Kiviranta reference. This is, we had no pre-show meeting, but this is chemistry. So this is a well-run show, my friend.
Yeah, it is.
So
Yeah, it is. That's great. It was a great memory. I remember jumping up in the air, fist pumping, and I remember the look on Nathan MacKinnon's face. And man, I never want to see that look again because that was a fired up individual. And And it's interesting from a Colorado perspective. We haven't spoken to, our preview from someone in Denver yet, but I do have to think from their standpoint. You know, kind of the Stars are on their radar is like, hey, you've knocked out some pretty good teams of ours.
I mean, it's the Stars have dis have kind of knocked the Avs out a couple different times when they were probably could have been more. Now, if you're looking at Avs fandom versus Stars fandom, it was the Avs have a cup in the past couple of years, so you're not gonna You're not going to give up on that, obviously, but there have been the Stars have had the upper hand in a couple series, a couple other things. I know some people in Colorado. I'm actually headed to Denver later this month for something else, for a different work project. Go watch the late game. It's related to that.
He's all over the place, folks. He's big time. I love it.
And I know people there kind of they have kind of a bit of a hatred for the Stars based off of what's happened historically recently. So whenever you get someone on from the Avalanche from Colorado, they're like, I'm sure you'll hear some. Should probably give my pal Corey Mastisack a call. Corey covers the team for the Denver
Oh,
Post. Used
wonderful.
to work
Yeah.
with yeah Corey used to cover the team, another outlet I used to work for that I don't mention by name anymore. But Corey's really great, and Corey and I get along well. He would be a really good one to have
Oh,
on the show
that
now.
would be
So yeah.
wonderful. And excited to talk to Nashville today about all their. If there was a cup to be given in the offseason, I guess Nashville would be certainly in the finals. So, interested to
That
talk about their offseason.
team got a lot better. Like
Yeah.
that team, like that that's like you go throw I want to look at the lineup as we're talking here. Like
Yeah, I mean, I
you
think they're definitely in the top three. Many people think they're going to be top one or two.
I don't know about top one yet. I think they've climbed into that conversation for top
Yeah.
three for sure.
You know, one of the
It's
guys
gonna
I'm
be an
excited about, Sean, is because I obviously he gets his name mentioned for the Norris, but you know, I mean, you're adding a bunch of big names and let's see if the chemistry all comes together, but it will also bring the focus on Roman Josi, and I know he's the opposition, but at the same time, just a terrific defenseman.
Yeah, I love Roman Josi's game.
I
To
do
me,
too.
he is the I've pe as Miro Heiskanen has come up, one of the people I've compared Heiskanen to was like Heiskanen could be at his base level, he could be a Roman Josi. And that's how good I think Miro is, but it's also how good I think Roman Josi is. I think Roman Josi's he's a guy who I think doesn't get enough credit sometimes for being even he should be sometimes even be more in the Hart Trophy conversation because that Nashville team has been above water and above where they should have been for a little while because of what how he drives that team. So yeah, it is a it's a fun he's a fun player to watch. Like I
Yeah.
get very nerdy about certain hockey teams. I love the way Andrew Brunette looks at the game.
I do too.
The coach in Nashville. I think he's very open-minded. I've had some great conversations with him about how he tries to steal from the concepts that they use in soccer and basketball when it comes to running pick plays and things like that. I love the way he looks at the game. I think he's a very good coach. He's got a bit of a raw deal in Florida.
Yeah. I also like the way he adjusted because Florida, everyone's like, oh, that's all offense. But then he comes to Nashville and they're a different team. And I also like the physicality that Nashville brought. I mean, they were a tough team to play, whether you beat them or not last year. I mean, I know the Stars had some success, but those were grinding games.
Yeah, and it was like Nashville beats you up a bit. They
Yes.
do. They come in and they have the way they attack on the forecheck, the way they kind of cut through. They forecheck a little bit differently, right? Like we always hear about how the Hurricanes forecheck differently than everyone in the NHL. They're more intense than anyone else. Nashville isn't Carolina, but they are. But they certainly are a. But they are a. A unique team in the way they cut and they come across different angles. And for in the regular season, it'd be interesting to think about a team prepping for them in the playoffs. But like in the regular season, you go against one style of forecheck against your other opponent on Tuesday, and then you see Nashville on a Thursday or Saturday. They catch you off guard. I think it's a really well-run team, and it's interesting to see kind of it's been interesting to see them kind of rework this rebuild and this reshuffling. The way they have, because obviously they let Matt Duchene walk and they bought him out. We saw Matt Duchene's success in Nashville. I mean, in Dallas this past year. Then we've seen some other things. Give them credit. They went big fish shopping. They got Steven Stamkos. They got Marchessault. They've got the cup experience now that teams always ask for. And if they'll be dangerous.
Yeah, they certainly will. Okay. After 17 years, Stars related, Alex Goligoski calls it quits, 39 years old, was one of the older players in the NHL, and wanted to get your thoughts, having covered Golo for as many years as you have. I found it interesting reading up on him. He's really interested in getting into management, and he feels as though his veteran experience being in rooms, and I think he's going to be knocking on Bill Guerin's door to try to learn. I know Mike Modano's in that organization as well. But I think, you know, from a Stars perspective, it's fascinating because the trade that will forever live in history, Goligoski comes here from Pittsburgh. In return, Matt Niskanen, youngsters, and James Neal leaves the organization. And Goligoski played a number of years here in Dallas, also signed a long-term deal here as well.
Yeah, he's a really good guy. He was one of those, he was someone I always enjoyed talking to. He was really smart about the game. Was someone who also understood it was a business, and as well, like him picking Arizona, the long-term deal he left Dallas for to go to Arizona for, wasn't the best on-ice decision, obviously, for where that team was and everything like that, but it was also a decision where that he took the most money. And I think that's something where we have to sometimes give credit to the athlete for thinking about their family in that way. So I always enjoyed my conversations with him. I think he was a little bit overly criticized sometimes in his time in Dallas. I think he was better than people remember, because because there was a time where the Stars were starting to finally get good. They went through some really lean years with him, and he probably took a little more heat than he should have. And honestly, if he hadn't gone to Arizona, he probably would have had a better legacy at Dallas, just because of what he might have been with those teams in kind of the through that 16, 17, 18, 19 era when the Stars kind of came back a little bit there.
So, yeah.
Not 16, 17. 16, 17, they were terrible, remember. But as they came back into form in 17, 18, 18, 19.
You know, we wanted to give a stick tap to when organizations are doing well and when they're well run, not just on the ice, but off the ice. Kyle Shohara is leaving the Dallas Stars to become the director of communications for the Seattle Kraken. Congratulations, Kyle.
Yeah. And Stars PR has been a nice little unspoken dynasty. I mean, it's there in Chicago. Ben Fromstein now helps run corporate communications in Chicago. He used to be with the Stars. Kyle is now running his department in Seattle. Tom Holley is an assistant GM for the San Jose Sharks. The Stars assistant GM, Mark Janko, is the former PR guy. So if you want evidence of advancement in the hockey world, can come from anywhere. Like, look at the Stars PR department, because they've done you do a great job in your current role. You're going to get recognized.
No, you're absolutely right. And kudos to them and the organization and what they've been doing. I will tell you, behind the scenes, they've been a big help for Spits and Suds, getting some former Stars, obviously Marty Turco, Al Montoya, some other guys as well. It's been really nice working with them, and it's really nice the support they've given as well, and saying keep up the good work. That kind of stuff makes you feel good. So stick tap to the organization, and it's cool. Some new faces coming in, but the organization just keeps running. What else we got, Sean? We have new inductees into the 2024 U.S. Hockey Hall of Fame. What's interesting about this is two names that I thought they're not in yet. That was my first thought. Former NHL players Kevin Stevens and Matt Cullen. Let's also give stick taps, because we love our women's game on this show as well. Olympic gold medal winner Brianna Decker, Blackhawks founder Frederick McLaughlin, and also the gold medal winning 2002 U.S. Paralympic sled hockey team. So some real nice inductees going into the USA Hockey Hall of Fame. I'm sure Joe Pavelski will be on that list soon.
Yeah, I don't know what the time of for how long you need to be retired to go into the USA Hockey Hall of Fame, but whatever it is, whenever it happens, Joe Pavelski will be in.
Yeah, so, but Kevin Stevens was a terrific player before the concussions got him.
Yeah, and he's how long had he been retired for? He was
a while. I hate to say it. I remember watching him when I was a kid.
Yeah, I mean, he last played. Yeah, 2002 was his last season. So almost 22 years since he last played an NHL game to get into the USA Hockey Hall of Fame. Like, that's, I'm gonna look that up real quick. What are the requirements for that? Like, what is the service time for that? Like,
Yeah.
must have not participated as, well, that's Hockey Hall of Fame. Where's the USA Hockey Hall of Fame? Let's see if I can find this. I can't find a rule
That's fine.
on the
We'll
timing.
follow up. Good
I'm
homework.
just curious. Yeah.
Good homework.
But
I do
I
also
mean,
want to plug for you, Sean, on your Substack. You had a really nice conversation with the new Utah broadcast team with Dominic Moore. That was a really good conversation.
yeah, I thought Dom was really, it was, it's obviously we won't steal any thunder from as you're building out Central Division stuff, but Dominic, we're gonna see, you're gonna see Utah and Dominic quite a bit more, and it's a good voice to have on the air, and they did a nice job building out a good team there.
And I
So
also wanted to add a local plug, Sarah Merrifield, who worked on Bally's
yes.
here locally. She is going to be the ringside reporter. So big stick tap to Sarah as she ventures to Utah. Really nice broadcast team they put in Utah. I will say, even when I did my Utah preview, I mean, they said, good, Gavin, we'll be ready in about 3 years. But I don't know. They were kind of on the train that Gavin Spittle says they're going to be in the wild card hunt, but not really. So that's just good. That's my Julius Honka leap this year. It
I just think the division's too deep right now.
is
Like, I think
deep.
they're,
Yeah. It is deep. Hey, I wanted to end with this and a big stick tap to you. I absolutely love all the stuff you're doing, and it is so cool to see Sean Shapiro left and right talking hockey. And people are smart. They're picking up Sean Shapiro. They want him to do various things. I love reading you in D Magazine as well. Excited about that article next week. We got some really cool news this week, and Sean has been a massive part of it. Spits and Suds has eclipsed all of last year's numbers, and we just started September. So we still have
That's
September,
awesome.
October, November, December to pile on the numbers, and we will pile on those numbers. But I wanted to thank you, Sean, because of my memories of doing this program and talking hockey, the late night post pulling the Frosties out and snapping them with Sean Shapiro are among the tops.
I love what this show has done. It is. This is exciting. I mean, it's been
Yeah.
cool. It's cool to hear you say that. It's key that people have been, that we've been going, and that we've eclipsed everything, and we don't even have, we still have October, we still have the
We still have the
season.
season.
I know, like, that's awesome. So
Yeah.
yeah, I that's awesome. So thank you to everyone who's listening.
It's
So I
amazing.
really, yeah. So
I'm truly grateful to you guys. Thank you so much, Spits and Suds listeners. And the response you first gave when I tweeted out after the season, we're going to keep going. And the fact that you guys have responded with regular season numbers during this off season, it's really kind of energized me and put the gas tank on full to just keep this thing powering through, and honestly thinking of other ways that I can bring hockey to you, like the Central Division preview, like getting some names from the past and from the presence, like, you know, doing interviews with PWHL players, because it really is about, you know, as we've said from day one, growing this great sport. So stick tap to you, Sean, and man, I really, these episodes fly by with you. I got so much to talk about. We didn't even get into the Leon Draisaitl deal. Quick thoughts on the Leon Draisaitl deal.
I think it's a good, I mean, I think it's a really good deal for
Yeah.
Edmonton. I think he's been underpaid a little bit late for the past couple of years, and you locked him in and got it done, and now you get to focus on getting McDavid done in a couple of years.
Are there any deals on the horizon that you say, oh, like, for instance, the Detroit youngster?
Yeah, those are big. Those are the big ones that I'm watching right now, and I think that's going to be, I think the Seider deal
Yeah.
will, I think once the Seider deal is done, I think,
Then we get into
assuming the
Wyatt.
Seider deal is, or Harley, I think that's when
Harley.
the Harley
Okay.
deal, like, I think Seider will help reset the market, and I think Harley's camp is waiting a little bit on that to try to obviously get some more money. So
Okay, that sounds good. He's our NHL insider. A lot of things going on with the late game movie. So go check out that movie this weekend. You can get it through Amazon. As Sean mentioned, D Magazine releasing a Sean Shapiro article next week. So that's going to be awesome. You can always get all of his articles, his interview with Dominic Moore and stuff like that through Shap Shots, EP Ringside, of course. And, you know, he still holds that cup as a club champion in hockey. So he's given his goalie expertise as well. Thank you so much, Sean. We'll look forward to catching up with you next week.
Always fun, Gavin. We'll talk again next week.
Absolutely. And don't forget, you can also subscribe to this program. And why do I say that? So we're pumping out episodes. Like, for instance, we're pumping out two today. This one will be released with Sean. And then right after this, I have a Nashville preview that we're going to record. So if you subscribe, it'll just come right to your phone or laptop, and it'll be there for you. So you don't miss anything happening right here on Spits and Suds. Have a great day, everyone.